Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
With me.
No, I don't. I just want to get married to you.
My God.
I know.
A big gay wedding, a lesbian recap.
Oh, I know, but nobody else is excited about it.
Okay. Like, I am.
I know.
The dogs are stoked.
Yeah, I hope.
I bet you.
Yeah?
Annie and Eric could come.
Oh my God. Eric can't come.
Ew, gross. What would they do if one of their kids was gay?
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's been talked about. Was it briefly, maybe?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Anyway, hello.
Hi.
We're recording, like, in the dark, but with a ring light, and it's kind of...
Yeah.
It's a mood.
Why did your phone just say that there was a person in our camera?
It said a person up in this bitch, because that's what we have Google set to. But every time somebody walks past our house...
Oh, you got to change that setting.
I didn't realize.
I'll work with you on that.
Thanks.
It could also be, I did order something from Amazon.
No, it would have said, it just said a person walking right past the house.
And mine would have told me.
Yeah. So what did you order from Amazon?
Well, it's a surprise for you.
Oh.
No, it's something for the kids.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Easter Bunny is coming.
It's a long weekend. And for Easter,
mm-hmm.
Even though we're not religious,
mm-hmm.
Here we yep. are. So it's a Friday and we have the day off. So we've just kind of like had a lazy day.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to record this. And then we're also recording tonight for the other podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I did not sign up for this.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode is wild.
I know.
Episode 19. I couldn't even take full notes.
Me neither.
Because I was stop. Like, I would just be recap. I would just be typing out the episode.
I know. We had to like... There was a couple times where I had to like rewind and be like, what did they just say?
Yeah, it's a problem from start to finish.
So this is season 2, episode 19, Time to Leave the Nest.
Ooh.
April 13th, 1998.
Mm. I wonder what year Easter was. They don't really talk about holidays much, except for Thanksgiving and Halloween.
So I was doing some research for the Patreon.
Oh.
And there is going to be a Christmas episode in season 3.
Interesting.
Yeah. And actually, well, so much that I was reading, for whatever reason, was like, in season 3, this. In season 3 is going to be a wild ride.
Well, we're almost into it. We only have a few more episodes left of season 2.
Like, after this, two more. This the two-parter season finale.
Right.
Yeah.
And if this seems like an apropos time to say... We have our own little Patreon.
We do.
It's got a few episodes up already. So if you want some deep dives into some of the actors on the show and the show itself, you can look on Patreon under A Lesbian Recap. And that's us.
Yeah. The next one I think we'll do is David Gallagher, who plays Simon.
Right.
And Happy the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did like hour-long episodes on some of the other characters, but David Gallagher is boring. Like, do something.
You made the B shape.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say bald because he's bald right now.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. He's resurfaced as a bald man.
Those flowing
locks are gone.
Yeah.
Okay. So April 13th, 1998, Matt's bending the rules and hinting about moving out against Annie's wishes.
I don't know that hinting is the right word. He was literally like, I'm moving out.
And that's not what happens in this episode.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, I guess the very end, maybe we'll get there, but.
Yeah. And like, he's got a girlfriend coming over and stuff, but.
Right. So I would say the three themes in this episode, in no particular order, is Matt getting admitted. He got accepted to both a local university and an out-of-state university.
Sorry.
And so within that, he wants more freedom and more privacy. And then the other theme is Lucy and Mary are fighting because Mary has been reading Lucy's diary and they don't have any privacy. Mm-hmm. And actually, maybe privacy is what this episode's overarching theme is.
Yeah.
Because the third one is Simon trying to
adopt a feral child.
keep as property a child experiencing homelessness. And
they have a home.
Yes. In which their privacy is invaded by the entire Camden family and that one police officer.
Sergeant Michaels.
Yeah.
We got to deep dive him.
We do, because I have a lot of questions.
Like the actor.
So where should we start? Do we want to talk about Matt?
I think so. I think or, we should.
The girls. They're kind of.
Yeah. Like. Okay.
You have so many notes.
Don't you?
No. I should have point form. What is this episode? Holy crap.
Okay. I think we should talk about Lucy and Mary first. So Lucy is on the phone with one of her friends, the phone that is in her shared room with her sister Mary. And she's like, oh my God, Matt Olson said I'm cute, but he said I'm cute and not pretty. And so I guess Lucy's been like unloading about sex in her diary. And like, she kind of hints that she doesn't even really know what she's talking about.
She says she's a petite girl, but her feelings are not petite.
Gross.
Yeah.
And so Mary makes a comment that implies that she's been reading Lucy's diary, and Lucy like flips out.
Yeah.
And she does that thing where she cries and runs.
She does it best.
And I think it's so funny because she comes down into the kitchen where Annie and Eric are, and she's like, I need, what does she demand?
Tape? Glue? Or
I don't know.
Or something else.
And Annie's just like, oh, there's tape in the cupboard, in the pantry next to the whatever. And like, I was picturing like scotch tape or like masking tape.
I was picturing masking tape, but this was like heavy duty black duct tape.
Like that black, like thick, you can barely cut kind of tape.
Yes.
And so she runs up to her room that she shares and puts a line down the middle, like in between their single beds.
I think this exact same thing happened on Full House.
I thought the same thing when we were watching this.
With Stephanie and DJ.
And it was the same comments. She was saying, well, you can't get changed because all the clothes are on my side of the room. Ah, we should look at what episode that was and when it came out.
Oh,
did
right.
they steal the storyline?
Conspiracy. Yeah. And so Mary says, like, you leave your diary out everywhere. Of course, everybody in this household reads it.
Yeah.
You should get a lock on it. And I mean, to Lucy's point, she's like, I didn't realize I couldn't trust the people living in this house. But I don't think, like, I didn't have a diary growing up that I know of, like that I can remember. I think I wrote poetry.
You wrote poetry?
Yeah.
This is brand new information.
Well, because I'm waiting to write a poem to you for our vows.
Okay.
And it's going to be great.
I don't know about this.
Did you have a diary?
Like, I didn't necessarily have, like, I don't think I had a diary. Like, I don't know. I'd spent...
You know, Barb's going to text us and tell us.
She'll yeah, be she'll like, be like, yeah, you did. And yeah. I read it. I definitely had, like, a book... I think that I wrote in, but not till like later on. Oh, actually, well, I guess she's 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like when I was a bit older.
And I feel like your brother wouldn't have read it. Like, I don't know. That feels like a, it seems like brothers, especially little brothers, like would maybe wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But I had a bigger sister, so I think for sure she would have cared. And I 100% would have read my sister's diary if I had access to it.
Okay. Side note. I think that the Full House episode was October 1st, 1991.
Oh, okay.
So Full House did it first.
Yeah, so it was probably the same writers.
Probably. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe everybody knew all my secrets, but I didn't even, I don't know.
I wasn't right at 14. I wasn't really writing about, well, I had my first girlfriend at 14, so probably right. Would have been
yeah, that's true.
Steamy.
I definitely didn't have a boyfriend or anything at 14, so I wasn't writing about anything.
Right.
Yeah, and then, and even like, I haven't really ever had a therapist that wanted me to like write my feelings down, but like I know that's like a common
yeah.
thing that they ask
me
to
do. Not for
me. No. Okay, so they're fighting about this diary. I didn't write anything specific down, but Mary's got some pretty good one-liners about
yeah,
the diary.
She's very much like a mean big sister in this episode.
Yeah, she's like, well, she like makes jokes like, well, we would know about that if you wrote it in your diary.
Yeah.
Or like, I'll just read it in your diary in 3 weeks.
Yeah. And the whole... This seemed just like a weird storyline. Like they didn't know how to insert Mary and Lucy into this episode. And so they just sort of like they anchored this to like the other storylines. Like yes. They are to Matt specifically because they, excuse me, they said when Matt moves out, Mary's going to move upstairs to the attic bedroom. And Lucy's like, that's not true. I'm going to. And
Mary's like, well, I'm the oldest. Like, I'm the next in line.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, I do think that's the way to do it.
100%.
Like, Mary would get it next, and then Lucy, and then Simon.
I think the argument was that they were trying to give it to Simon first.
Right. Yes. And, like, Annie just has no time for these shenanigans.
Yeah. She comes in and tries to shut it down a couple times.
Yeah.
And so Matt has a girl in his room. And Ruthie, I don't know, busts in and is trying to hang out with them. And Matt's not into it. So he brings Ruthie down to Lucy and Mary's room and is like, can you watch Ruthie and get her out of my hair?
Yeah.
And Lucy says something pretty inappropriate.
What does she say?
She says that the people who live... in the slums of Calcutta have more privacy and I live in the street or, and they live in the street.
Oh my God. Sorry. I forgot.
So yeah. Did that make sense what I said?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. She's upset that she has no privacy.
And then it kind of boils down to like the sex talk.
Yeah.
Like it kind of comes to an end, like that storyline because Annie sits in their room and is like, why are you guys fighting? And Mary's like, she's just upset because I'm reading in her diary about how all she thinks about is sex. And Annie is like, okay, well, let's have a sex talk. And Lucy's a little too into it.
She's hyped about it.
She's like, hyped. She's stoked.
Like, so the sex talk isn't just about like who you should be having sex with or shouldn't be, or I don't know. Like it wasn't what I would picture your typical Christian family sex talk. Annie tells Lucy about the night she was conceived.
Yeah.
That's her sex talk.
So it was 14 years ago and they had only lived in the house for a short time. And
she had just put Mary down to bed.
Yeah. And it was Valentine's Day and Eric had to work and it was raining and the lights were flickering on and off and she was frightened. And Eric came home late because he had to be at the hospital with
Mrs. Binks.
With Mrs. Binks, who had heart surgery. Yes. And
it was Valentine's Day, and it was the heart surgery.
Yeah. And she didn't even realize it was Valentine's Day. And one thing led to another.
And he came home with a chocolate bar that he got out of the vending machine.
Because that's all he could get.
And he came home, and then one thing led to another. And then she was just like, and that's the night you were conceived. And Lucy was like, oh,
like she was eating it up.
She was like, this is amazing. That's such a love story. But then Mary was like, well, can you tell me about the night I was conceived? And Annie was like, no, you're not old enough for that.
Yeah, yet. Maybe when you're older.
Like, what happened?
Back of a pickup. Premarital. I don't know. It was, I don't want to know about the night that I was conceived. But
me neither. You.
Are you going to tell your kids about the nights that they were conceived?
No. Not
it's at just all. Weird. I didn't like it.
No.
It gave me an ick vibe.
It did give me an ick vibe. I don't think it's a beautiful story. But maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was interesting that there's an entire storyline going on where there's another human being in the Camden household. Mm-hmm. And like Mary and Lucy have nothing to do with it. Like they don't even see this kid.
Yeah, they don't even
have a scene with her at all.
It's almost like they weren't available for recording or something. And so in one single day, they had to get all of those scenes.
Yeah. Like they were like, okay, well, you come, we'll do the whole show and then show up next week and we'll record your bit.
Yeah. That's what it felt weird. Like I wonder from a behind the scenes perspective, what was going on?
Yeah.
So then
Easter.
Yeah. So I don't
Should we talk about Matt.
Let's talk about Matt. Cause I'm not ready to talk about Sarah Simon and Simon.
So Matt is apparently getting accepted into all the colleges that he's applied to in state and out of state. And so he announces that he's going to bring his girlfriend over and that they are going to go up to his pad in the attic and he wants some privacy. And Annie and Eric kind of decide like, okay, well, this is him testing us because if we don't give him his privacy, then he's going to have a reason to be like, this is why I'm going to college out of state. And so they're just going to let whatever happen.
Yeah.
Like that's not.
It was weird. Cause, and so this girl shows up. Did you write down her name?
Yeah.
Molly. I just wrote down Foam Girl.
Foam?
She's a foam girl at the local coffee shop.
Oh, yes.
So Molly comes in and Annie's like, oh, hi, it's so nice to meet you. And it turns out she's 23. Yeah. Matt is 17. And she She lives at home also and works at a coffee shop as a foam girl. And she's like, you know, making all the drinks that need foam and stuff.
Like,
okay.
Was Starbucks around in 1998?
I don't know, but like she's a barista, but
yeah, I don't know what a foam girl is.
Yeah. So they go up to the room, Matt puts on a record. It's like jazzy sex music and they're about to start making out. Ruthie busts in.
Yeah.
She's like, what are we doing? Cause I'm bored. And Molly is like, of course you can hang out with us.
And Matt's like, ugh, cock.
Yeah. Cock blocked by a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Like this, we got a dog moving around and they're going to, is he going to unplug everything?
Space. Oh God. Henry.
Henry.
Hi, there you go.
So Matt is like, oh, this is so frustrating. And that's when he goes down and talks to Mary and Lucy.
Yeah.
And he comes back up and Ruthie is like dancing with Molly.
No, first he goes down to talk to his dad.
Oh, yeah.
His parents. And he says, Mom, Ruth is up. Ruthie's up there. I don't know why I always want to call her Ruth. Ruthie's up there and is cock blocking me.
Basically. Oh, yeah. And that's when he says, don't worry, I would never have sex in this house.
Yeah. And Eric's like, okay, do we need to have a talk about.
Like have you had sex in other houses?
Yeah. And so they have this awkward conversation and. Annie goes upstairs and Ruthie is dancing with Molly. And then Molly's like, oh, it's no problem. Like, I love kids. I can't wait to have kids of my own someday. And then rubs her uterus, her lower abdomen.
So I have the comment, I'm almost 18 going on 30. Who said that? Henry just turned the lights out.
Yeah, it's unplugged now. It's okay.
We're fine.
So that's Molly said that.
That Matt's almost 18 going on 30?
Molly says that to him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, sorry, because he goes back upstairs and he's like, now we're alone and he's going to start making out with her. And she says, I know you're 17 going on 30, but I tend to date guys who live on their own because I live with my parents.
Like, was that a dig at the fact that he's 30 in real life?
No. I think that's just funny to us.
Okay. So then the next morning comes and there's a really awkward scene with Matt and Annie in the kitchen having breakfast. And Matt says something like, oh, Molly left last night. and nobody heard her or whatever. And Annie's like, what are you talking about? And then is Annie and Eric make this comment to each other. And they're like, well, I hope she didn't hear us when she left.
No. So Matt's drinking breakfast and eating breakfast. Maybe it's a smoothie.
Yeah.
Eating breakfast and reading the newspaper. And when Annie goes to talk to him, Molly creeps out. She's trying to sneak out because she stayed the night.
Right.
And he's like, don't worry. I slept on the couch. The blankets are still there. I can prove it. Which, like, doesn't mean you didn't sneak away to have sex, sir.
Yeah.
And then Matt goes upstairs or something. And when Eric comes down, he's like, oh, I see that Molly spent the night. Something like, we didn't hear anything because it's right above where they're sleeping.
Yeah.
But then, like, I hope she didn't hear what we were up to.
And they, like, wink at each other. And I was like, so, like, I know what's about to, I know that in the future, there's a pregnancy.
Oh,
so I think they needed to say this now.
Yes. They needed to insert.
They needed to insert this awkward comment now. So then Eric convinces Matt to come and help him clean up this trailer.
We'll get into that.
Which we'll get into in a second, as his, like, punishment almost.
Right. A life lesson.
Yeah.
And it turns out by the end of the episode, we learn that Matt has decided to go to Tennessee, I think.
Yeah.
And he's going to university there. But he'll come home on summers and Christmas.
Yeah, there was a weird scene at the very end where Mary is pulling a turkey out of the oven. Like, you needed that thing in there all day. And I know you weren't cooking all day because you were helping clean up this trailer too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the parents show up, like Annie and Eric show up, and the five kids are making turkey dinner and they're having Thanksgiving early because they have all these things that they're thankful for. And then it turns into this, well, maybe this will be Matt's last Thanksgiving for a long time.
For a long time.
Because
with
he's going to university.
Yeah.
I just think he's going to come home for Thanksgiving. They get, like, a break then, don't they?
I don't know. He's going to be having sex with everybody he can find.
Yeah. Americans love their Thanksgiving. He's got to come home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope Molly didn't hear us when she left. Okay, the opening scene of this episode. Annie and Eric are, like, making out.
They're sitting side by side playing footsie.
At breakfast.
Making out, talking about it's so nice to have a breakfast for two.
And they stop kissing and...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Eric says, I deserve a raise. No. Eric says to Annie, you deserve a raise.
Yes. Like, I wish I could give you a raise.
And then she's like, well, I'm the one that handles the money.
And he's like, well, in that case, can I have a raise?
And then they have, like, a weird, awkward IOU conversation.
I don't like it.
Like, they're trying to, like, imply sex, I think. But, like...
Get over it.
Ew.
Okay. And then
it's like the next scene, Simon walks in.
Yes. So then Simon appears in the kitchen holding the hand of a small child who's covered in dirt.
She's probably five.
And not saying anything. And he says, look what I found. Can I keep her?
And then he says, you let Grandma and the Colonel keep George.
Oh my God.
When you found him. Like, so she's not talking. This little girl's not talking. Annie cleans her up and like puts her in some of Ruthie's clothes. And Simon's saying things like, if no one claims her, I want her.
Yeah. And when they call the police and Sergeant Michaels comes by and he says, well, Simon, you know, we're going to have to find her family. And he's like, her family? You think that they're going to take care of her better than I can? Look at the state she's in. Like, don't I take good care of Happy? And Eric's like, yeah, you do. And he's like, so then there I should be able to keep her. I can take better care of her. Nobody is addressing the fact that humans are not pieces of property to be owned.
But that's what happened with George.
And what do you want with a small girl, Simon?
Yeah, it's really, really weird.
It's unsettling.
So Ruthie gets her back up and she's like, well, so because they're kind of implying that like, where is she going to stay in Ruthie's room? I guess that's the only scene that Lucy and Mary have where they talk about this kid.
Yeah.
They're like, well, of course she's going to stay in your room. And then Ruthie's like, heck no, she's not. I just got my own room.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't want her to move in and be her roommate. And Ruthie calls her it. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah. Like, girl,
she's like, where's it going to stay?
Yeah.
Like between the last episode with the French person.
Yeah. Like, Ruthie, we have some problems. So then Eric, because of course he's going to go to the police station and look through missing children's reports to see if he can pinpoint who this child belongs to.
Because he's the Reverend Eric Camden. He gets to do everything. He's basically a police officer as well. Like, they wouldn't let a stranger sift through missing kid reports. Those are like confidential files, I assume.
Yeah. Threatening to jump off a roof of a building? Call Reverend Camden. Mm-hmm. Are you addicted to drugs? Camden. Need to detox? Reverend Camden. What can't he do?
Ugh. So while he's sifting through these files, which I thought was very funny, that he was like, is this it? These are the only missing children files in Glen Oak? Because the pile wasn't very big. And then Sergeant Michaels says, well, those are just the ones that haven't been digitized yet. Like, computers, they're coming.
They're coming.
And so this man, who we find out is named Joe, bursts through the doors of the police office. And he's like playing a drunk person. Like, I don't know.
I don't think he's ever been drunk in his life as a real life person.
As a person who has experienced being drunk, that I have.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't know.
He stumbles in, he falls into the counter, and he's like, my little girl.
Somebody took my little girl.
My little girl, she's missing.
My daughter, Sarah.
And like, what are the chances that this man came to that precinct and went to the counter that Eric and
Sergeant Michaels
were at.
You'll get there.
And like, he like falls into the counter and he's all dirty and disheveled and wearing mitts with no finger holes. And
like, that's a stereotypical person experiencing homelessness.
Yeah, it was situation. Not good. No.
Like, when Matt dressed up as the hobo, I think he was wearing all those clothes that they then repurposed for this Joe character.
Yeah. They were like, we've got just the costume.
So he's dirt. Like, I don't know. Like, he's dirty. Like, he looks like he's been cleaning chimneys all day in
yes,
the 1900s.
He looks like the chimney sweep
in Mary Poppins.
That's where they got the extra costume. And then Matt had to wear it for Halloween.
Yep.
And now Joe.
Now Joe.
And so now, somehow he's now at the hospital.
Well, so they're like, what does your little girl look like? And he just like spot on describes Sarah, which like, fair enough. But I think, and then he passes out.
Oh, right. So they bring him to the hospital and he wakes up and he's like, just give me a drink. Someone just give me a drink. Let me out of here.
And they're like, okay, sir, like, where is Sarah's mother. And he's like, she doesn't have a mother. She disappeared when Sarah was only a few months old. And Sarah's the only thing I've got. And she helps take care of me. And she loves drunk old me. Like,
oh my God, it's bad.
So this whole time, back at the Camden house, Simon is hanging out with this. They find out her name is Sarah. And so Eric says, oh, your name's Sarah. She's like, yeah, I am. Where's my daddy?
I take care of him. He needs me.
He needs me. My daddy's sick and he needs me to ask people for money for us.
Yeah. And then Simon's like, what is he sick with? And she's like, I don't know, but if he's not drinking, he feels real sick.
He needs a rum and he feels better. Like, me too, Sarah.
But like, Simon is trying to.
Okay, wait.
Okay.
Do you know the movie E.T.?
Yes.
There is a scene in the movie E.T. because E.T. doesn't talk. He's an alien. He just says phone home with his finger. And is it M&M's he's like eating?
I think
it's M&M's. And Elliot is leading E.T. along by like placing M&M's to get him to move through the house like a bird, like bird seed or something. Yeah. Simon's doing this to Sarah with Skittles.
Yeah. Him. So Annie bathes her and brushes her hair and puts her in a dress and all of this. And then I guess just leaves her in her room.
Simon's room.
No. In Annie's room.
Yeah.
And so then Simon goes in and he's trying to make her laugh and it's kind of working, but not really.
He's like making funny faces.
And he's like, see, I can be funny. And then he ends up wanting to coax her into his room.
And she doesn't want to move and she won't talk.
And so he gets a handful of Skittles or M&Ms or something and walks a few feet and she walks up to him and hands her one. Few feet, hands her one. Like all this stuff until they get into his room. And he's like, see, this is my room. It's pretty cool, isn't it? And she's like, where's my dad? And what? he was like, oh, your dad's fine, but like,
don't you want to live in my room with me now? Basically, like he's coaxing her with candy
into his room. I literally wrote, he's obsessed with her in kind of a perpy way.
Yeah, yes.
Like, Simon, you have a little sister. Maybe spend time with her.
Yeah.
You also have a dog. So both your needs should be met for whatever this social need you have with these two relationships.
It's true.
And
it wasn't good. Like, where's Nigel?
Yeah, where's Nigel? And I don't think the police would just be like, you know what? If you could just keep this kid at your house, give her a bath.
Yeah.
Take care of her. And we'll get some details. So Joe leaves the hospital. Or he's like in the hospital. They go to Joe's house.
And Sergeant Michaels shows up. Like, he makes a point of saying to Eric that the judge wouldn't give them a, what's it called when you're allowed
warrant.
To go in? A warrant to go into the house, into his trailer. And Eric is just like, well, we'll just check the door then. Turn your back. Like, they break and enter.
Yeah. He's a pastor. He can do that. And so he's like, maybe there's people in here who can help Sarah. And so they open the door. It's not locked. It's just like a dilapidated trailer, yeah, probably like, next door to that guy who.
Oh, yeah. The one who
has PTSD.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
They stole his pumpkins.
The monster. So
it's trashed inside. Someone's got a rat. They've got this giant rat, the biggest rat I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably like an actor rat. Named Kevin or something. I don't know.
I hope so.
I wonder if he's in the IMDb credits.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like a mattress on the floor. It's dirty. There's bugs and it's just not good.
So then they do some research and they find out the mother is in fact dead. She OD'd.
Yes.
But there's a grandma.
Sarah's grandma.
Joe's mom is alive and well.
Yes.
And so like they...
Like alive and well, but maybe not emotionally stable to take on Sarah.
Agreed. And they should have like... done some research with a social worker,
mm-hmm.
maybe not just the Reverend and his family, and been like, hey, Grandma, what kind of relationship do you have with this girl? Does she even know who you are and that you exist? Because the grandma shows up to the Camden house and Sarah is terrified of her.
Yeah. She's like, hi, Sarah, I'm your grandma. You're going to come with me. and Sarah freaks out and runs to her captor, Simon, because now she has Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, it's her safe person, but and, not really.
Yeah. And
so Simon convinces Ruthie because he has...
No, we need to back up and talk about this grandma's emotional instability. Because Sarah, who is 5 and obviously traumatized, is scared of this woman she's never met who says, you have to come with me, and runs and hides. And the grandma, in her 65 years of maturity, thinks, well, this isn't going to work.
Oh, yeah.
She obviously doesn't want to. So she runs out of the room and she's like, this isn't going to work.
She doesn't want to be with me.
She doesn't want to be with me.
Like, she doesn't know you.
But, ma'am, this child has never met you before in her life and is currently being held hostage by a 11-year-old boy with candy.
And a dog.
Yeah. And then Annie's like, well, what if we, like, try something? Let's bake together.
So then Simon goes and, like, convinces Ruthie that if she, because I think Simon now realizes, like, well, he should have been using Ruthie to help him along with luring Sarah because they're of similar age and gender. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
And so he basically says to Ruthie, you got to help Ruthie, you got to help Sarah and Mom bake cookies with the grandma. Because otherwise, Sarah's not going to ever like the grandma.
And never going
to
leave.
And never leave. And she's going to have to stay in your room.
Yeah.
And so Ruthie's like, okay, challenge accepted. I'm going to little girl the shit out of this.
Yeah.
And
like, and then Annie and the grandma stand back while the two little girls crack eggs.
On the counters.
No. Ruthie got it in the bowl.
Sarah's... living a struggled life. She's never
cracked an egg in her life.
She doesn't bake with her dad. She mixes his drinks.
Yeah.
Opens his beers.
What's that drink that you make with like an egg white? You like froth it?
Ugh, I don't know.
It's like a boozy drink. That's probably what she was going for. She's like, okay, I need to separate the yolk from the white. And so lo and behold, baking cookies with...
She's got like a shot glass and she's got the mixins of a B-52 and she's pouring it onto like the spoon so that they layer.
Perfectly mixed.
Yeah, my mom taught me how to do that.
Oh my God. So turns out she's going to go stay with her grandma. Everything's fine.
Yeah, they bake the cookies and all is well.
Yeah.
But the dad doesn't like this, Joe. Okay, so... So you didn't know who Bill W. was.
No. What was the reference?
So Eric and Joe are at the hospital and he's kind of saying like, Sarah's maybe going to go live with your mom and you got to get clean. And he was like, I can take you to go see my friend, Bill W. So that is a reference to Alcoholics Anonymous. So Bill, I don't know his actual last name. It starts with a W. Is one of the co-founders of AA.
Welcome.
I could look it up quick, but I'm not going to. So he's one of the co-founders of AA. And so in the Alcoholics Anonymous community, and I don't know if this is still a thing, but it was definitely a thing in like the 90s.
If you're in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Let us know.
No, don't let us know because it's anonymous.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let us. No, don't tell us.
Don't tell us. It's fine. We don't need to know.
Like I could like if I see that maybe you're struggling with alcohol and I could say like do you want to come meet my friend Bill W. And like that's it's rather than being like you need to go to AA, you need Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, but what if I was an alcoholic but wasn't part of the program? I wasn't doing my 12 steps.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this. I'd be like, "Excuse me, who the fuck is Bill W?
Like, does he like to drink?
What's his drink of choice?" Terrible. Alcoholism is a disease and it's not funny.
It's not funny.
But the way they're portraying it is very funny.
It's true.
And
I got to explain who Bill W. was to you.
Yeah, I did not know this.
So they show up. So Eric and Joe show up at the trailer. And like Joe at this point hasn't agreed to go to rehab.
No, he wants his kid back. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Where's Sarah? She needs to be begging for money for me. And so they show up to the trailer and the camera pans around the trailer and all the Camdens are there.
Oh, no, you gotta rewind. They see the cop car and Joe is like, oh, is this my welcoming committee? Then Eric like gestures for him to go in. And the first face he sees is Officer Michaels, Sergeant Michaels. Michaels, with this like goofy
thumbs up
and toothy smile. And Joe looks at him and then he starts to slow pan around the room and he sees all of these people that he's never met before.
One time.
Children, men, women.
Wait. He does. Oh, sorry. Don't continue.
And they're all like, "Welcome home, Joe." This group of strangers has. What are you buying?
It was a payment. I put money on my credit card.
Oh, that's nice. Smart.
I didn't buy anything.
I saw a little notification pop up.
I know. It tells me when there's movement. It's kind of nice in case I get like, if I lose my credit card or it gets stolen, I get a text every time there's a purchaser.
Well, there goes my plan of taking your card and buying you something nice with it.
Yeah, like there's $50 on it, as you just saw.
Oh, I didn't see the number. Okay, so then all of these strangers who Joe has never met have gone inside his home, invaded his privacy.
Broken and entered.
And cleaned and organized his place.
His entire life.
And they all have something to say. Like,
you can do it.
Mary and Lucy are like, we got a new mattress that we had in our garage laying around. So now you don't have to sleep on the floor. And Simon says, or Matt says, we've cleaned and disinfected everything. So you shouldn't have a pest problem. And then Ruthie goes to the fridge and says,
Joe's like, my pet rat.
Yeah. Where's Kevin? Kevin's outside with a little bag of hat. Joe. And then Ruthie opens this little tiny fridge and is like, and now you've got food. I picked out the chocolate milk. And then I can't remember what Simon says.
Like, you can't have your kid back.
I've taken your kid. And then Annie says, and we've taken you on as a project. So you get to participate in the Meals on Wheels program through the church.
So Annie actually, I'm going to actually you here. She does all the blue jobs I wrote down.
Yes.
She's like, I fixed your water heater and I turned your electricity back on and I don't know, fixed your door hinge.
Blue job, blue job,
blue job, blue job, blue job. And we've taken you on as a church project and you're going to get Meals on Wheels.
So you'll get a hot meal every day. And then Eric says, we've also caught you up on your bills.
Right. And then implies that he should start coming to church.
And I'll see you every Sunday at church.
He's like, no, you won't.
And Joe's like standing there looking around. Oh, and Sarah's there.
Yeah.
And so Joe's like, and what if I don't want any of this help? And then Simon says, well, you need to get some help for Sarah because she loves you. You need to love her. Like something like Simon steps out of line and like says something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and then Joe's like,
I don't know if I want this. And oh, the grandma's there too.
Yes.
So many people in this trailer.
There's so much happening.
It's not even a double wide.
No. And so he's like, hey, Sarah, can you go outside and play for a few minutes?
And he kicks Sarah outside with Ruthie, Lucy, and Mary.
Yeah.
And Simon? I don't think so.
No.
I think the men, this is a man conversation.
And they say, you need to tell Sarah that you want her to live with the grandma because she's not going to go willingly.
And if she doesn't go live with the grandma, she's going into foster care because she can't stay here.
And you're never going to get her back.
Michael says. And so he has like, he runs outside and he hugs her. And he has this moment where he says something like, if you love something, you have to let them go. And I love Sarah.
Yeah.
So like in that minute and a half, he's accepted their help. Like this was like the worst bribery, intervention I have ever seen.
Blackmail.
I've seen so many episodes of intervention and this was the worst
one. This was not good. And so Joe is going to work the program and go to church and get his Meals on Wheels. And
we'll probably never get an update. That's how this show rolls.
No, we're going to get an update in 25 years when it turns out that Simon has been keeping Sarah in the floorboards under his bed in a little cave that he set up. And that, and like she's now 30 and only knows Simon.
She's going to be like some feral. Like,
yeah.
What's that movie with, is it Michelle Pfeiffer? Is she like Fern? Fern? She lives in the forest.
What? Fern Gully?
No, not Fern Gully.
Because that's definitely not Michelle Pfeiffer.
I I don't know.
Anyway, this episode was unhinged.
It was.
Like, also, why wouldn't they invite Joe and Sarah for Thanksgiving? You know who could have used a hot meal and some time together? Joe and Sarah.
And the grandma.
And Grandma Joe's mom.
Grandma Joe.
Yeah. So, anyway, this was too much.
Like, reading about, like, the little blurb that just says Matt's, like, hinting about moving away to university, I was just like, womp, womp. And a minute and a half in, when Simon walks in with this, like, dirty kid, I was like, oh, my God.
Can I keep her? Oh, no. Not good. Tell us, what do we got next week?
We only have 3 episodes left.
In season 2.
I was wrong. At the beginning, I said there was 2. There's 3 episodes left. This one's called Like a Harlot. Lucy and Mary set themselves up for disastrous dates, and Eric unwittingly fixes his son up with the senior slut.
Oh, no.
Which is in quotes. So there's going to be some slut shaming, which is great.
We love that.
All right.
That's great. Well, yeah. If you want to see any clips of the episodes we cover, make sure you follow us on TikTok and Instagram at 7th Heaven, a lesbian recap.
I was like, I almost started to say my phone number. I was like, at 4? Nope.
You can give me a call back at.
Yeah.
And also, if you want more episodes, join us over on Patreon, where we're talking about all sorts of stuff. We're going to recap things that also aren't 7th Heaven.
Yeah, we haven't
We haven't yet, but we will. Maybe Call the Midwife, because that's really
God, we're watching it and it's so good.
There's lesbians, there's placentas, there's
babies.
Babies.
So many. Where do they get all the infant actors? Like, and how much is that family getting paid? Like, I could birth a child and have it be like one of the birth episodes.
I don't know. We're going to have to deep dive this
probably
on
only
Patreon.
Like 10 grand. It's not worth it.
Oh my God. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Welcome to 7th Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at 7th Heaven, a lesbian recap.